number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime. This is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
I'm Tony D. Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, so I want to start the show by saying, kind of giving you a little warning in this hour. There is going to be some negativity in this hour. Not make you feel bad negativity, but pointing out a couple of things that are going wrong in the sports world. And then I'm going to cap it in the next hour by telling you what's really going right this year in the sports world. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, David Wharton is going to join us from the LA Times, because there is a call out by a major doping agency to ban all Russian athletes from the Olympic Games in Rio, because there is real bad stuff going on over in Russia. And I got to tell you, this makes me sad, because this is the kind of stuff you kind of believe. This is the kind of stuff you think is, would happen. And you would expect governments that have a lot at stake when it comes to the Olympics, that really want to showcase their athletes in the Olympics, would of course have government sanctioned cheating. But now this has really hit a critical mass. David Wharton is going to break that down for us coming up at the bottom of the hour. I want to talk about tanking to start off the show. And I'm going to say this with all respect to teams that try to plan out their schedule to lose games. Apparently it's working. Congratulations, Philadelphia 76ers. You were the scourge of the NBA. You were tanking games, and the commissioner was livid about it. Sam Smith would come on this show and say, look, if I'm the commissioner, I ban the Sixers from national TV. This is an embarrassment to the NBA. And we've kind of had our jokes about the Sixers and the process and what Sam Hinkie had done before he was let go. But you know what? It's working. It worked. The excitement and the enthusiasm for Ben Simmons is at an all-time high. Look at the enthusiasm Summer League generated for Ben Simmons amongst the Sixer faithful. Now, since I moved to New Jersey, I get a chance to listen to New York sports radio when I drive around, and Philadelphia sports radio when I drive around. And it's fun, because they are really happy that Ben Simmons is on the team. Now, look, anybody that's a first-round draft pick, teams are excited. That's why you give the first-round draft pick to the bad teams in your league, because you want the fan base that suffered through a bad season to be genuinely happy. I get that. But they're talking attendance for Summer League, people just getting excited watching Summer League, people just thrilled that a game is on and we get to see him, and they were upset when he didn't play. And this is Summer League in Las Vegas and Utah and Orlando. These are Summer League games. They're supposed to be, hey, take the kids out there and see what they can do. Get them all ready for the upcoming season. But in all, the Sixers accomplished what they wanted to accomplish when they were tanking all those games. Win the lottery, get the number one pick, make a selection that would genuinely be exciting and get people really thrilled as to where the team is going. So congratulations, Sixers. You won that war. Now, don't get me wrong. Rooting for your team to lose so they can get the number one draft pick and actively tanking are two totally different things. If you're an NFL team, and there's a hot quarterback or defensive player that's in the draft, and you want to root for your 4-8 team to lose the last four games of the season, fine, go ahead. But it's another when a team actively says, oh, and while you're rooting for us to lose, we'll make sure we lose. Those are two totally different things. Now, Philadelphia didn't go out and say, we're going to lose games on purpose, but they adjusted. They had lineups that didn't work out. I mean, there was this whole idea that they weren't as competitive as they really could have been. And in that respect, that's what drew the ire of so many people around the league. You need competitive balance. You need a sense that when a person buys a ticket or takes their kid to a game for the first time and maybe saves up so they can get a good, pair of tickets on a Saturday night, that there's some sort of competition, that there's some sort of, hey, we're going to give it our all, and even if we lose by 30, we're going to give you a night. Well, the Sixers didn't do that. But what have they given their fans now? Genuine excitement. It's real. Ben Simmons' mania is real. So is it worth it to be the scourge of the league, to draw the ire of the commissioner, to have people like Sam Smith and others to lament the fact that you're ruining the game of basketball, that we may have, you know, 30 teams, but only 29 of them are playing hard, and the other one is doing whatever it can to screw themselves up this season so they can get the number one pick? Well, yeah, as a purist, I don't like it. As a competitor, I don't like it. But seeing the general enthusiasm, I got to say, mission accomplished. I don't know if Ben Simmons is going to end up being an all-star player or not. By all accounts, he's looking great. By all accounts, he's got all the tools. If he plays it right, he should be. If you're a betting man, bet on him. But there's no question that in July, when you have your fan base extremely excited for Summer League basketball. I mean, Summer League. Some of you don't even know when your team is playing in the Summer League. And people in Philadelphia are just enjoying it. And it's a dead time. I get it. There's really nothing going on. We're in the kind of the dog days of summer in Major League Baseball. Camp really hasn't started. Preseason games haven't started. So, yeah, you want something to watch sports-wise other than an average baseball game? I get it. That makes sense, especially when you have someone to watch. But it's real. Look, I remember going back and forth with people on Andrew Luck. Look, I thought Andrew Luck would be success, but I don't think he would lose games on purpose to get him. And then I saw him and I went, yeah, maybe I'd lose games on purpose to get him. So, yeah, again, as a competitor, as a guy that wants the competitive balance of sports to be real every single night, I'm not naive enough to think that it is. And the rewards, as Philadelphia has shown, can be really great. Because, again, the energy for the Philadelphia 76ers this upcoming season is pretty real. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. I mentioned earlier that in about 24 minutes, David Wharton of the LA Times is going to join us to talk about doping in the Olympics. I'm not naive to believe that the Olympics are clean, okay? I know that there is people who bend the rules, and I know there are people who will mask urine samples, and they'll mask taking some sort of drug that can't be detected, and I get all that. The money is too much. The fame is too much. It's almost worth the risk to some athletes to do that. But in this case, and we're going to get with David about this coming up, we are not talking about some individual athletes taking it upon themselves to try to manipulate the testing systems, to try to get away with just taking a little bit here or there to get a little bit better in their training. We are talking about state-sanctioned doping, government orders to dope athletes. In 2016, I feel like I'm watching Rocky IV. That's how incredible this story is. Now, for those of you who've never seen Rocky IV, shame on you. Go see Rocky IV. Rocky was fighting the Russian boxer Drago, and this movie came out at the height of the Cold War, so you can only imagine the incredible propaganda machine this thing must have been. But Rocky's fighting the Russian boxer Drago, played by Dolph Lundgren, and while Rocky is training in Siberia, cutting wood and lifting logs and building a cabin and folding laundry and whatever the heck he's doing while he's living out there training for the fight, Drago is seen using state-of-the-art equipment and punching a thing to measure pounds per square inch. And oh, by the way, needles are going into his massive arms because that's what they do. Banning an entire country from the Olympics based on government-sanctioned doping. I have now reached critical mass with the Olympics. Again, I know this story pops up almost every Olympics, but banning a team over doping, and these were from the Sochi Games, mind you. These were dopings from the Olympic Games that have already occurred in the winter in Sochi of 2014. These Olympics are a disaster. I mean, what else? Name me one positive story that's going on from the Olympics in Rio. Anything outside of, hey, this athlete really trained really hard and they're really excited about going to their first Olympic Games. Yeah, those stories you'll see over and over again. But don't manufacture that. Give me a real good, feel-good story. What have I gotten from the Olympics so far? Oh, you might not be safe. Zika virus. All these athletes want to pull out. The venues aren't ready. Oh, the water is massively polluted. And oh, by the way, Russia might not be there because the whole team has been banned. Because, oh yeah, 2 years ago at the Winter Games, they were all doped up when they won the most medals of any country. Well done. Coming up next, continuing the theme, a major sentence in that Major League Baseball hacking case involving the Astros and the Cardinals. I'll give you the details next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Glad you could be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Hit me up at Twitter, on Twitter at Tony D Radio. I said, is there any feel-good stories for the Olympic Games coming up? And Doug on Twitter, don't forget the 450,000 condoms the IOC gave out. Hashtag feel-good story. Ah, very good, Doug. Very good. That's always the case every Olympics. Have you noticed that that's a story now? Every 2 years? Whether it's winter or summer, doesn't matter. Every 2 years, we get the story of how many condoms have been distributed to athletes in the Olympic Village. Apparently, it's one big old sex fest that goes on in the Olympic Village. These guys have a lot of downtime, at the Olympic Games. I can only imagine how much fun that must be for an athlete, though. You're there for like 2 weeks. You compete in a couple events. The whole world is there. You're just hanging out. It's just one. It must be fantastic to be an Olympic athlete. It must be great. The Olympic Village is always hopping constantly. Sometimes when you get your event over with, you have to go home, but sometimes you don't have to. You can just stick around, wait for the closing ceremonies. A lot of guys like to get out of town, though. Like if early in the Olympics, if it's swimming, you know, sometimes they just go, all right, I'm done. I don't have to be back. But some athletes go, no, forget this. I'm here for 3 weeks. I might as well make it up. You know, I make up for lost time. I've been training my tail off forever. I'm going to party. I'm going to have a good time. Even if I don't win gold. I used to remember making jokes about, you know, the athletes that won medals. I would wear that thing nonstop. You wouldn't be able to get it off of me. If I was 21, 22 years old, and I won Olympic gold in anything, I don't even care if I'm just pushing the bobsled and not even driving it or I'm just on for the ride and I won gold, I'd wear that medal constantly. Constantly. I'd sleep in it, for crying out loud. The Olympics coming up next month. Oh, my goodness. I hope the Russians aren't there. I hope this story is true. And again, I grew up in the Cold War, so I remember them skipping out on 1984 because we skipped out on 1980. And I remember being just over and over again that sort of animosity between countries. And that was always the image. That was always the image we were painted. Oh, they're just a bunch of cheaters over there in the Eastern Bloc countries. Oh, my goodness. East Germans, Czechoslovakians, Hungarians, who was ever in the Olympics, if they're from the Eastern Bloc, they're just all doped up. My God, the women are men over there, for crying out loud. That was the big old stereotype. And that was all the propaganda. And then you get this story. Government-sponsored doping. Again, David Wharton is going to join us from the LA Times to help us break this down. All right, so do you remember about a year ago, there was a St. Louis Cardinals scouting director who broke into the Houston Astros database, player personnel database, and he pleaded guilty to hacking into the Astros computer to get some proprietary information. Now, this is all, you know, this is Major League Baseball's got to take this stuff seriously. This is hacking. The Astros are really into sabermetrics. They really have this stuff down. They have these analytics down. And now this Cardinals personnel office knew a password, so he got into the Astros computer. This is serious stuff. Well, I kind of went, I know, but, Well, apparently it is serious stuff because Chris Correa, who did this, the former scouting director for the St. Louis Cardinals, just got 46 months in prison because of this for 5 violations of breaking into a computer. 46 months in prison. That's nearly 4 years for doing this. This was a very, very well done hacking job, by the way. Now, I remember when the Justice Department was getting involved in this story, and I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, you think in sports, we live in this bubble, right? Where, hey, look, the Cardinals stole from the Astros. Well, it's all fun and game and love and baseball. No, 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 no. That is the one thing. You break into somebody's computer. You hack into somebody's computer. Even under the sort of cloud of competitiveness. No, no, no. It's like banks trying to rob each other just to prove their security system is flawed. Like, I wasn't really going to take your money. I was just trying to show you you need to beef up security. I mean, breaking into the Astros computer to steal player personnel in 46 months. How do you explain that if you're Chris Correa and you're standing in chow line? Like, what are you in here for, man? Stealing cars. What are you in here for? Cheating on my taxes and murdering my wife. What are you in here for? Oh, I was trying to get information on an 18-year-old pitcher that really could throw a nice curveball out of San Domingo, California. And, you know, the Astros had a good write-up on him, so I broke into their computer to try to find that out. Oh, no kidding, really? Wow. Aren't you bad? When you're sitting in prison and you're reading the same magazine for the fifth time, and you have no privacy to go to the bathroom, is this why you would want to go to prison? Like, at least make up a story when you're in there, Chris. Make up something. Yeah, I hacked into the Astros computer, but then I chopped off the hand of the guy who helped me. Just make up a story. You're going to be in prison for a long time, man, long time. Now, what I want to know is this. You always hear stories like in the movies or stories about criminals where they go in. I think Johnny Depp's character in the movie Blow had a really good line where he's like, I went in with knowledge about marijuana and I came out with a doctorate in cocaine. Because while he was in prison, he learned about another crime. Do you think Chris Correa starts teaching hacking to criminals in the pen? Why not? He's in there for 46 months. He's in there for 4 years. All right, then you want to take the hashtag and you want to get out of that page. And then when you see the password, you have three chances. Make sure you get it right on the first one, otherwise it will lock you out. All right, let me take some notes. Meanwhile, he's learning how to jumpstart cars and how to break into simple burglary alarms. Congratulations. I didn't realize this story was as serious as it actually was. I mean, again, silly me thinking that this was just a simple baseball story. We don't like it when the judicial system comes into our sports, right? We don't like it. I remember having arguments with people about fights that would break out, like in hockey, like when hockey players hit each other with sticks or something gets out of hand. And you want to say, like, you know, this is a crime. This is a crime. Like, that person should be arrested. When that hockey player jumps on that kid's back and drives his neck into the ice, that's a criminal act. That we need the police to come in and arrest him. We always back off and go, no, 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 it's sports. You know, like, we police our own. We, you know, this is something we don't really want in the sports world. Yeah, teams hacking each other in computers? Sure, why not? Why wouldn't that be allowed? Oh, no, 46-month sentence. My goodness. All right, David Wharton is going to join us in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk to him about this Russian doping story for the Olympic Games. And could the Russian athletes, every single one of them, be barred from the Olympic Games in Rio? At this point, does it matter? At this point, are the Rio Games in need of some sort of whitewash, you know, feel-good moment of justice? When they're making rowers swim through sewage, when they've got the Zika virus scare, when the police won't protect even the basic tourists who come in to spend time at the Olympics or the athletes in general. Now we're going to go, oh, but you know what? In the end, these games will be clean because the Russians and those awful government-sanctioned doping regulations are going to be out of these games permanently. At this point, I mean, if you can take any bit of good news, take it. All right, that's coming up next. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. And coming up in hour two, we've had a really good 2016, really good in sports. I'm going to tell you all the great things we've seen so far this year. And while the Olympics may be dark, they will not darken this season so far because it has been a good year. That's coming up in hour two. I'm Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. The Olympics are coming up, and there is a story out about one of the leading anti-doping officials calling for Russia to be barred from the Summer Games because of basically anti-doping complaints that have been going on. This is a really interesting story. David Wharton joins us from the LA Times to sort of help us break this down. How are you, David?
Good, thanks.
All right, so now, is this an unprecedented declaration for an entire country that the country should be barred from the Olympics?
Yes and no. First of all, there have been countries that have been barred in the past. You had South Africa being barred for a while because they would not stand up to apartheid, would not end apartheid. You had Afghanistan barred because of the way women were treated during the Taliban rule. But never before have we seen a country barred for doping violations. And as you know, the Olympic movement and amateur sports in general has been fighting doping for decades. We've never seen this before where they say, well, you've been caught cheating and we're going to kick your entire team out.
So we've seen individuals, but this is a countrywide problem, if I'm being led to believe here.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I've been covering this a long time, so maybe I'm a bit cynical, and this goes on. You know, Russia is not the only one. This goes on all over the place, but Russia does have a real history with state-sponsored doping, with the government being involved in this, with officials being involved in this in a very orchestrated way. And this history dates back to the Soviet era and to East Germany when the governments there saw Olympic sports as a way to promote their countries, to promote their governments. And so they took a very active role in all of this. And we're seeing the continuation of this that's really come to light over the last 6 or 8 months, that this is still going on. We still have officials within the sports organizations. We still have government officials who are involved in you know, athletes doping and in cover-ups when they do test positive.
All right,
this is something that Russia is very much involved in.
I see there's some moving parts here, so feel free to correct me anytime. So there's a whistleblower that claims that there's been government cheating at the Olympics in Sochi in 2014. I may be naive on this, but I thought there was this international regulation and that you can't cover this kind of stuff up because it's an international organization. I don't know, kind of like the UN. I mean, I know that sounds naive, but how did this get to a point where they needed a whistleblower to sort of uncover this?
Well, you know, don't feel alone. A lot of people don't understand how this works because it's kind of complicated. You have one international organization, the World Anti-Doping Agency, that people call it WADA, that oversees sort of doping all across the world and sets the standards. But then below that, every country has its own anti-doping agency that's responsible for testing the athletes in that country. And then so you're kind of leaving it up to the fox to guard the hen house, or, you know, it doesn't quite always work. And also, when there's an Olympics in a country, the host country is the one that takes care of the testing. So this sort of first came to light when these whistleblowers came in and told us that, well, during the Sochi Winter Olympics 2 years ago, when Russia was running the labs, they were covering up positive tests by their own athletes. Then WADA started looking into this more and said, well, they were doing this also when the track and field championships were in Moscow a while back and when other big major events came through Russia. Now, this isn't the only time they've been cheating. There's been evidence and allegations of continuous cheating in that country. But right now, what the authorities are looking at are these labs that were being run by the Russians, sort of under the auspices of the international organization, but being run by the Russians, and where there was swapping of samples. You take out the dirty samples, you put clean samples in their place so that Russian athletes don't get caught.
When I hear about the Olympics and I hear about doping and all this other stuff, I sort of wonder, have we reached a point where, all right, it's not all clean, but let's just not go overboard because there's just so many drugs and there's so many tests and there's so many ways to mask it. I'm not saying it's okay, but does a little doping just kind of get by everybody and everybody's kind of okay with it?
There's doping that's going on, and you know, the testers and the enforcers will never catch up with the cheaters. The cheaters will always be coming up with something new that can't be detected, at least right away. But I would say two things about that. It would be okay, except for the fact that we now see this, and let's be honest, we see this with the NFL, we see this with other sports. We have guys in their 50s dying right now because they took these drugs when they were young. And what's really even worse is we have young athletes, high school kids, taking these things beforehand because they feel like they can't be competitive. And really where these things are most damaging to the body is before the body has reached full maturity. So if you've got this situation where you're going, well, okay, these things exist and there's nothing we can do about it, then you're also going to have to say, okay, young kids are going to feel pressured to take it if they want to reach that level where they want to get to the national team, they want to get to the Olympics, and they may risk the rest of their lives for this. And I don't think that's okay, and there's a lot of people that don't think that's okay. So that's where the real problem comes in. And the second thing I would say is the one thing that the testers now have going for them is we are saving samples from every Olympic Games. And as the testing improves, they're going back and retesting 4 years later, 8 years later, and they're catching people, and they're yanking medals. And that's one of the deterrents that's out there.
So where are we now with the Olympic Committee? They've heard this sort of cry for Russia to be barred. Are they considering it, or is this just press that you'll get sometimes like, well, we'll just throw out the megahorn and see what happens?
It was really up in the air until today when WADA came out with basically the third major report since last November. And this report says, hey, listen, it's not even getting better since we first caught them in November. They're still doing all these things. They've been cheating in the laboratory. We've got evidence that the government's involved in this. They're talking about now suspending the head of Russian sport, the minister of sports in Russia, Vitaly Mutko. That became pretty serious. And then you had WADA saying, listen, the entire Russian team should be banned. Now, the Russian track team has already been banned from international competition, including the Olympics. They tried to get reinstated in time for Rio. That didn't happen. But now you've got WADA saying, we've got this third report. You should ban the entire Russian team. And they laid that in the lap of the IOC today. The IOC is going to have an emergency teleconference tomorrow to discuss this. And this gets serious. I'm not sure that the IOC could ignore this, even if they want to, not with WADA making such a declarative statement. It would really make the Olympics look bad, I think, at this point, not to ban the Russians.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. Let's say they say, okay, well, we still need to gather evidence, but we can't gather enough in time, so they get to go to the Olympics, and maybe further down the road we'll address this. That would just press alone, that would seem to mar their being in Rio next month.
You know, I think that would kill them. Also, it really hurts them on another front because there is this movement. You know, earlier I talked about how WADA is the international overseer and then all the other nations sort of take care of themselves. Well, there's this big movement now to take it out of the hands of the nations, to give it all to WADA, to take all that money that's going to the national organizations, give it all to WADA, let them hire everybody, let them do all the testing, all the enforcing, so that there's like sort of an independent control over this. And the IOC has been very much in favor of this. If they ignore what WADA is saying now, it's like they're going back on this push to make WADA the more powerful authority figure. So they've almost painted themselves in the corner. They almost have to do what WADA is recommending, and WADA is recommending it very strongly.
David Wharton joins us, LA Times, on, again, this story coming out that Russia may be out of the Olympics in Rio. I want to ask, do we know how deep this sort of government goes, this sort of government order goes? Does it go to Vladimir Putin? Do we know that yet?
We don't know about Putin. As I mentioned before, the authorities feel pretty confident that the Minister of Sports in Russia, Vitaly Mutko, has been involved. They named one specific case in which he oversaw concealing a positive test by a soccer player, a Russian soccer player. And by the way, he's a bigwig in FIFA, the governing body for soccer. And WADA said, hey, FIFA, you should consider kicking this guy out of your executive board here because we think he's been involved in this. They are also claiming that the Russian Secret Service, it's sort of the modern version of the KGB, it's called the FSB. They say that they have been involved in helping to tamper with samples in laboratories because I guess, secret agencies sort of know how to do that sort of thing. It's gone that far up the ladder to the Minister of Sport, to the Secret Service. There is also still a great deal of evidence that WADA says it hasn't been able to analyze yet. So there could be more to come.
David, this has been great stuff. Thank you so much for simplifying this and really appreciate your work on this story.
You're welcome.
All right, coming up next. All right, you know we've been making fun of the Pokemon Go thing. And when it crosses into sports, I draw the line. That story next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio. and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on YSR. I'm Tony D, taking you through the night tonight. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, or if you want to contact the show the old-fashioned way, 800-777-2907. All right, listen, we all have had our fun with Pokemon Go. We've all had our fun making fun of people for Pokemon Go. You see the videos of people going in Central Park over this rare creature, people, the stories of people putting signs on their lawn that says, I'll shoot Pokemon Go people, whatever. You know, this every it seems like every day there's just a new story. So, you know what? I'm giving you a new story. Apparently, Pikachu. Now, again, I've heard of this, but I don't know if Pikachu's a major character in the in this game or not. But nevertheless, Pikachu was spotted in Nick Saban's office at Alabama. Now, there's a picture of Pikachu sitting on Alabama Nick Saban's desk at Alabama. Now, I gotta say this, a couple of things. The guy who took the picture, is he playing Pokemon Go in Nick Saban's office? Two, does Nick Saban know there's a Pikachu in his office? More importantly, are the Alabama people that, you know, live in Tuscaloosa this summer and, you know, kind of hanging around, do they know there's a Pikachu in Coach Saban's office? First of all, they'd want to get into Coach Saban's office anyway. This seems like a better reason to go in there. You know, like, I don't want to look at anything, Nick. I just want to capture this make-believe creature that happens to be sitting on your desk. What would Nick Saban say if you went up to him and said, by the way, there's a Pikachu in your office? Would he understand it? Does he have grandkids? Or would he look at you with that glazed look like, please get out of my face?
He'd just be mad you were asking him a question.
That's probably true. And then he would probably say, I'm sorry, is Pikachu in trouble that I did not know about? Is he one of our offensive linemen that was arrested over the weekend that I'm not sure? Is Pikachu got a stolen gun and some marijuana in a Monroe, Louisiana? Because, you know, they target players like Pikachu. Is that what Nick Saban would say? That sounds like a Nick Saban thing to do. Would you be surprised if you found out Nick Saban played Pokemon Go? Because I'd be blown away if you did.
Yeah, I'd be blown away.
But what if he had grandkids and he wanted to be... Like, this is when... Like, if you're a hip grandparent... Wouldn't you want to know what your kids are doing? Like, if you have little grandkids and they're running around with this, wouldn't you want to be like, hey, tell me about this little Johnny? And then you're kind of in. But Randall Spain was the guy that took the picture. I wonder if he's going to have to explain himself why he was in his office for this Pikachu thing.
He's going to be suspended.
Yeah, right? Suspended indefinitely until we can gather more information.
But Cam Robinson's okay to play.
But if Randall Spain could help lead him to a national championship, it would be like, well, what am I supposed to do? Suspend everybody that comes into my office unannounced and unauthorized? If I did that, I wouldn't have a football team. And you know what? People who are playing Pokemon Go are discriminating against Alabama football players.
Pikachu's a good get. You got to get him where you can.
Pikachu's a good get. This is crazy. What kind of shelf life does this game have? Because nothing lasts forever in this crazy tech world. Give it another week, another 2 weeks, another month?
I'd say about a month.
Okay, and then that's it, right?
Yeah.
Because remember, we were all in love with Candy Crush. Now it's almost embarrassing if you play Candy Crush. If you're caught playing Candy Crush now, it's like, oh my God, it's 2016. Come on, man. Pokemon Go will go away very, very soon.
Speaking of Nick Saban real fast, he will be on the Paul Feinbaum show tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Are they going to argue again?
Little
rematch.
Are
they going to fight again?
Hopefully.
Oh, are they going to be buddies and patch
things
up?
They'll be buddies. They'll be buddies.
Paul, if you have any guts, you will challenge Saban again.
You don't challenge him twice in a row.
Why don't you go, hey, how come you suspended Alphonse Taylor and not Cam Robinson?
Exactly.
Alphonse Taylor, he got arrested for DUI. Still some information to be gathered there. He was suspended immediately.
Yeah.
Cam Robinson was in the presence of a stolen gun and marijuana in a car in Monroe, Louisiana.
Of a gun and drugs. But
gun no. and drugs.
He's my
Whether
left
or not
tackle.
We want to make that argument about marijuana, but don't make it in Louisiana because it's not legal there. But in Cam Robinson's case, because he's an all-SEC offensive lineman, why? We got to gather more information. Are you kidding me? I can't just suspend everybody who gets in trouble.
I'm just going to laugh when Sunday morning, after that USC game, there's going to be all this stuff will come out, and they'll be like, okay, Cam Robinson's suspended for the first half of the next game.
Yeah, the next game against Southern Alabama State.
Right.
Right, the team they pay $2 million to come and get beat up on.
Yep.
Cam Robinson can't play this game. And you know what? He's a competitor. He wants to play every single football game. But again, Southern Alabama State comes in here, and we're not going to have one of our best offensive linemen. So you tell me how we have an advantage there. Yeah, that'll be the old spin move that we get from Saban.
Roll Tide.
When the cupcakes come rolling in, and then Cam Newton can be suspended. But yeah, apparently Alphonse Taylor, he must be terrible because he was suspended the second he was in trouble.
The only two-star on the team just happened to get a DUI.
The second he got in trouble, Saban was kicking him off the team for a while. My God, what kind of offensive line do they have if he's a second-team SEC selection and Saban can easily do without him? Guy started 15 games last year or something like that, whatever. How many did they play, 14 games?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah, he started them all. And it's instead gone immediately. All right, Nick's not playing. I'll tell you that for sure. So he's not playing Pokemon Go, because if he was, he'd find a Pikachu in his office.
Yeah.
You know, I have a real quick question. Because my wife and I were talking about this. I was like, I don't want people showing up on my front lawn looking for these creatures. I mean, how are these creatures ending up on people's private property where you can run the risk of having strangers coming into your door asking to walk your backyard?
That's what I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand how they get placed or what goes on. I haven't even looked at the game, so I don't understand any of that. But when is it going to happen that someone gets shot because they're on private property?
Absolutely.
I guarantee you within the next week that story will come out.
Are you kidding? I'd freak out if I look out my window and I see 15 people in my yard looking for a Swazi.
You think it's like The Walking Dead?
Yeah, exactly. It's like The Walking Dead, exactly.
Start stabbing people in the head.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be starting to ration my food. Coming up next hour, what is going right in the sports world next? Yahoo Sports Radio.